Welcome to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar. It used to be that many medical malpractice suits in Pennsylvania would be filed in Philadelphia because the city had a reputation of juries finding for plaintiffs and awarding larger payouts. That's even if the alleged malpractice occurred somewhere else in Pennsylvania. It was called venue shopping, and it was stopped after liability insurance for healthcare providers got very expensive. But now, filing suit in a location other than where it occurred may be resurrected in part because plaintiffs are winning very few lawsuits and patients may not be getting justice. Joining us on today's program is Kurt Schroeder, Executive Director of the Pennsylvania Coalition for Civil Justice Reform. Representative Schroeder, welcome to the program.
Hey, thank you very much for having me. Good to be here.
Also joining us is Cliff Readers. He's with the Pennsylvania Association for Justice. Mr. Readers, welcome to the program.
Hi, except I'm not really with them. I'm a past president, and I was president when this venue rule came in. And I have to tell you, you completely misstated the issue. One could never file in Philadelphia because of its reputation, unless the city had a relationship to the defendant, to the hospital being sued. So the whole notion of venue shopping is a made-up term by folks who would like to restrict the rights of those who are seriously injured. There is no such thing.
Okay, well, let me stop you for a second, and let me get into what I have to do before we get into the discussion about what it is. As you can hear, there is some disagreement on this issue. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. You can send a question or a comment to WITF's Twitter feed. We are at SmartTalkWITF. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. All right, before we get into that and get into a lot more, the state Supreme Court is considering a rule change that would allow malpractice suits to be filed other than in the jurisdiction where the alleged malpractice occurred. So, Mr. Reeder, let me let you continue. Before we get into Philadelphia and venue shopping, why is this a positive development, according to you?
Venue shopping. You're giving the wrong information to people.
What? Okay, wait a minute. Before I go any further.
The advisory committee of the court, and there are many of them, I serve on one myself, is considering rescinding a rule that was put in on a temporary emergency basis, okay? And that's what's happened. The Supreme Court's not considering anything because they haven't yet had a recommendation from the advisory committee. I'm just concerned about the fear politics of all of this. You know, that's what's happening here. Secondly, very important, there is no such thing as venue shopping. You cannot pick a venue wherever you want. You cannot file a case wherever you want to in Pennsylvania. The rule for everyone else in the industry, except for hospitals, is that an entity, that is a corporation, could be sued where it has a registered office or its principal place of business is located, where it regularly conducts business, or where the bad thing happened. Every other business in the entire Commonwealth is subject to those rules. That's not called venue shopping. That's called venue rules, where an entity or an enterprise or a business can be sued either where the occurrence occurred or where they regularly do business. And even where they regularly do business, the case, if it's brought in that particular county, has to be a convenient forum. Those are the rules. Those were always the rules for medical malpractice cases until 2003, because they were treated like any other transaction.
Okay. Can I interrupt here and...
As a result of the work, by the way, that I did, just hang on. You have to get the issue properly.
Cliff, you're not the only one being interviewed friend.
Let someone else get a point in. Yeah, and as the host, sir, this is not going to work unless you let someone else speak. So, whether it was mischaracterized or not, Kurt Schroeder, you disagree. You're shaking your head here. And by the way, that's not what we do here. Is, you know, we try to have civil conversations here.
Right, right.
And that's what we're going to have today, either way. So, Kurt Schroeder, how do you were shaking your head no.
Scott, I'm going to try to respect the parameters of your program. You are the host. I will just say a couple things. Cliff Readers is the original medical malpractice liability crisis denier, and it's obvious that he continues to be so to this day. And now he's added venue shopping as another denial of his, which I find to be just quite shocking. There was nothing temporary about the new rule, about the rule that was put into effect in 2003. what was happening, whether Cliff admits it or not, is that plaintiff's attorneys were dragging cases to Philadelphia that shouldn't have been brought there. Oh, they might have had some distant, remote connection through maybe they had a billing office in Philadelphia or something like that, but operations, procedures, alleged malpractice were taking, you know, was taking place in other parts of the state, and Cliff and his buddies would file the cases in Philadelphia if they could get away with it for one reason and one reason only, and that is higher contingency fees so that they can, you know, continue to subsidize their lifestyles and act like they're the great defenders of victims, when in fact what they do is they make their living preying off the healthcare system. They make their living, you know, decreasing access to patient healthcare that we all rely on. So the legislature, the Supreme Court, and the governor all work together back in 2002 on an interbranch commission on venue. That commission issued a report. It was a cooperative effort of all three branches of government, something, by the way, you don't see happen very much. They issued a report that had a majority recommendation to make venue only proper. In other words, suits, medical malpractice suits, can only be filed where the cause of action arises. That is what the Supreme Court adopted in the rule. That has been in effect since 2003. It has worked. It has worked very well, except for Cliff and his friends in the trial bar, who never liked it because it took away a lot of their gravy train.
All right. Well,
okay, so now you've told people things that are not the truth. So let's talk about the truth. The truth was that there was a special break granted in 2003 to the medical industry, where they were the only industry in the country, in the state, that had to be sued only where the malpractice occurred. And the reason for that is so they could get cases in very small rural counties where a legitimate claimant could never win. That's what that was all about. It wasn't about me and my buddies or any of that kind of nonsense, you know. And you know, Kurt, that I've had agreements with the trial lawyers, and I've had disagreements with them. And I'm not here representing them today, by the way. I'm here representing myself as somebody who was involved in these issues from the beginning. Okay, I challenged the venue statute that your legislature passed and was held unconstitutional by the Supreme Court. That's how I got involved in this whole matter. So now the issue is, do we continue a special break for the health industry only, for only that industry, where a person cannot sue, would not be able to sue, where the hospital regularly conducts business, or where their main headquarters are, but rather could only sue with a tort occurred, even if it was in some rural county, where the hospital really has very little to do with that county. And the reason why people like Kurt Schroeder and lobbyists...
All right, listen.
...say so badly is because they want to be...
Listen, I have got to be able to ask some questions here, and so I'm not real comfortable interrupting you as you're making speeches and talking about this, but let me ask some questions. Mr. Readers, and here's one of the big ones. I have seen a quote where you said that Philadelphia handles these cases correctly. It's the other 67 counties in Pennsylvania that do not. How can that be? How can the city of Philadelphia, and you said that, there's not such a thing as a venue shopping. I have several questions here. Why then, where there's so many suits being filed in Philadelphia, say a case that occurred in Juniata County was being filed in Philadelphia. Why were there so many attorneys going to Philadelphia to file suit?
It shows how little people know. Because you have to ask yourself, what connection did Philadelphia have with the case? That's the correct question. And the question is that it depends on the case. I don't
know
that case.
How is that the correct question I'm just asking the question, follow up. How then can you, if a case, someone, a patient in Juniata County went to a doctor and they believe that the doctor made a mistake or was negligent, and okay, maybe there is a connection to Philadelphia, but if the case actually occurred in Juniata County, how then going to Philadelphia, does that make sense?
I mean, I know that you've got your mind made up on this.
No, I don't.
Question, okay, and then you can have Kurt talk as long as he wants to. The answer is you cannot sue in Philadelphia County where the claim occurred in Juniata County unless Philadelphia County had a relationship to the case, to the hospital, which was a major and strong relationship. Otherwise, the case would get booted out on change of venue, and it's happens all the time, every day in the court system. So let's just pay attention to the truth here. That's all I'm asking.
Okay. And you're wrong when you say I have my mind made up. I'm just asking questions, and your answers are pretty lengthy, so I have to get my questions in there to get some control of this program. So, Kurt, I'll ask you the same question. Philadelphia, a case in Juniata County. Okay, the point that Cliff Readers makes, if there is a connection to Philadelphia, and there's very little chance that a jury in Juniata County would find for the plaintiff, then why not be able to have the option to go to a city that where there are more expert witnesses, more attorneys? The courts deal with these on a regular basis.
First of all, Cliff's argument is an affront to every county court system and every juror in those court systems across the state. To argue, what he's basically arguing is that you can only get justice in Philadelphia or maybe some of the other large verdict, high settlement jurisdictions. That's really what the argument comes down to. To say that jurors in whether it's Juniata County or pick your county and the courts and the judges and the court systems there cannot dispense justice is just nonsense. Otherwise, you know, they'd be making the argument to take every case into the city of Philadelphia. As far as connections, unlike the significant connections that he's alleging, these connections were often very, very remote. The city, whether it's Philadelphia, whether it's Pittsburgh, had nothing to do with the actual injury, with the actual cause of action, or anything like that. So what he terms as a special break, I'll tell you what, you know, we can probably end this interview right now, very shortly, Scott, if Cliff will agree with me, because I see his point. His basic argument that, hey, why not have venue, a one-size-fits-all venue rule, so that all cases are treated the same? He might be surprised to know I don't necessarily agree with that. So if he's willing to go with me to the Civil Procedure Rules Committee and have the trial bar go with me, too, and urge them to have the medical malpractice venue rules apply to all causes of action across the state so that there is a uniform standard that stops venue shopping, which still goes on today in other, you know, other types of causes of action, then we'll have a uniform state that makes sense, that's predictable, and that everyone can live comfortably with.
Mm-hmm. But, Kurt, let me ask you that. Cliff, hold on just a second here. I want to ask Kurt something else.
Sure.
One of the points that he makes and trial lawyers have made is that there is very little chance that outside of Philadelphia that a plaintiff is getting justice, that there's malpractice occurring, and that most often juries are finding for the healthcare provider, for doctors. We know that it occurs in some places, maybe not as much as what a lot of people believe, but that they're not getting justice because the counties outside of Philadelphia, say the very rural counties where there are only a few doctors or healthcare providers, that they automatically, I don't know, maybe they're prejudging going in that they don't want to lose a doctor or the doctor's part of the community. Bottom line is that there's not justice being served in some of these smaller counties.
Yeah, I reject his premise totally. As I said, that's an affront to every court system in the state, except for maybe the big three of Allegheny, Philadelphia, you know, Scranton, whatever county that might be. To say that you cannot get justice elsewhere in the state, I just think is false and ridiculous on its face. And the other argument that he makes, and I'm sure he'll make it next, is that supposedly the concentration of healthcare providers in some of these counties is such a large employer that these jurors are afraid to rule against them because they have some connection, this and that and the other thing. Well, first of all, Cliff knows that you can strike jurors for prejudicial reasons, so you can weed those jurors out. But if you look at the big cities like Philadelphia, like Allegheny County, you know what the number one employment sector is in Philadelphia? Well, I have it right here from the Department of Labor and Industry website. The number one employment sector is general, medical, and surgical hospitals. Offices of Physicians is number 8. Other hospitals is number 9. And you look at the top 25 employers in Philadelphia, and a good portion of them are hospitals. So the argument that he's been making in newspaper after newspaper about, you know, these what he apparently thinks are you know, dumb rural jurors not willing to dispense justice because they're worried about their health care system. Well, there's no greater concentration anywhere than in Philadelphia, and he doesn't seem to have any problem finding a jury to be fair in the city of Philadelphia.
Cliff, what do you say to that?
Well, what I say is that, you know, you really got this rigged, and you're letting him do all the talking, and I would like to be able to respond instead of being, you know, cut off and put on mute.
You know, well, the reason talking, is okay? You continue to talk and not let anybody talk.
With some rural jurors. It has nothing to do with wanting to be in Philadelphia because it's a better place to be. That's not what it's about. It's about enforcing the rules that have always existed in Pennsylvania and exist in almost every state in the union, which is that a party can be sued where they have a registered office, where they regularly conduct business, where the cause of action arose, or where the transaction arose, or where their property is. If somebody, if a business or an industry, whether it's your radio station or whether it's my office, purposely avails itself, and that's the language of the United States Supreme Court, purposely avails itself of the right to do business in a particular county, then they are subject to jurisdiction and a venue in that county. If that county is not appropriate for some reason, it has little or no connection, then change of venue can and is often granted. So Mr. Schroeder's statement that this has to do with dumb jurors or this has to do with, you know, something else like that is all nonsense. This is very simply about no need to treat the medical industry differently than anyone else.
And I didn't call jurors
I might add,
dumb.
Who is found
Cliff
who
is the one who infers that
okay.
They're dumb
county,
by his arguments.
Hold on.
In that
understood.
County. So an individual, for example, you or me or anybody, if I could be found in Philadelphia County and I could be served, I could be served there. But again, it's all subject to change of venue rules where that's necessary. So really what Kurt and the corporate interests want to do is they want to kick these cases out of any place where they are concerned that there may be a verdict against them, and they want to be in counties that they believe are most favorable to them. They're doing the venue shopping. In fact, they are doing the venue shopping. All I am suggesting is that the medical industry be treated like any individual and like any other industry. And that is, if they make a decision to do business in a county, whether it be Philadelphia or whether it be Columbia or Montour or any other county, they are subject to being sued there because that's the way the American system works. That we consider that the counties in, or counties or jurisdictions or states in which businesses and enterprises do business, that they have availed themselves of the privileges, the positives and the negatives of doing business there, and they're subject to suit there. And that's the way the system works.
Right. And I've offered
The folks who want a special break for the industry, you know, having a hard time proving why they should get that. And
I offered a reasonable solution to that, which I haven't heard Cliff take me up on, and that is let's have one size fits all venue rule for everyone. Let's expand the medical malpractice venue rule that's currently in place. It's fair. It's workable. It's reasonable. It doesn't keep cases out of Philly. There's still plenty of events that happen in Philly where those cases will be brought. But let's have it apply across the board. That's the only fair way to do it. And his arguments and his to the contrary just reveal that uniformity, as he has so often argued, is not his real reason for wanting this rule change.
All right, let's take a phone call. And I see that we have a number of doctors that are lined up, and I think they're pretty much going to say the same thing. So I'm only going to take a few. Dr. Michael Gratch is in Willow Grove. Dr. Gratch, you're on the air.
Yes, I am. Thank you.
What's your question or comment?
My comment is that Mr. Reeders is completely off base here. I can go back to the 2001 medical malpractice crisis where we had a group of 15 orthopedic surgeons who were practicing with never losing a case or never settling a case, and we were unable to get medical malpractice insurance, and we had to close Abington Hospital, the emergency room, the orthopedic department, et cetera. It was a complete disaster, and many physicians were leaving the state or preparing to leave the state because of the venue issue. And fortunately, Governor Rendell was very helpful in getting us insurance after we closed for 14 days and keeping us in practice. And then he was also very helpful in getting the law changed for the venue shopping was ridiculous. And I just talked to other physicians who are probably a lot of them on the phone, who are ready to just leave if this happens. And that's the crisis you're going to face. There's a tremendous amount of orthopedic surgeons and neurosurgeons and cardiothoracic surgeons, high-risk surgeons, who just shudder at the fact that they're going to get their cases down to Philadelphia and not keep it in Montgomery County or Bucks County, wherever we practice.
All right, Dr. Gratz, thank you very much for your call. And as I said, I think we have other doctors who are saying kind of the same thing. So, Cliff Readers, let's go back to when the rule was changed. At the time, we heard from many Pennsylvania doctors, especially specialists, who were saying that, we can't afford the liability insurance and that we may go out of business. He talked about Abington Hospital. It's obvious from the number of calls we're getting here with doctors here that they're very concerned about the amount they will be paying in malpractice insurance and that they may not be able to stay in business.
Okay, so the answer is it has no relationship whatsoever to whether we follow the ordinary and regular venue rules. Not at all. It is untrue that doctors were leaving the state. We now have the data, and Curtis has seen it. We have the data from the MCARE Fund and the Professional Licensure Board. We have had a constant increase in the number of doctors and extenders for every single year since the original CAT Fund was actually established in 1976, which I have something to do with, because I worked for the Republican legislator who created that, Kurt. You know Merk Hager, Henry Hager. I worked for him on that legislation. We have never had a dip in the number of doctors, and in fact, as we have an aging population with people leaving the state to go to Florida and Arizona, we actually have a better ratio between doctors and patients than we ever have had in the history of this state.
Sure, because we solved the medical malpractice crisis back in 2002 by passing the MCARE Act. So we do have a healthy system today. You're absolutely right.
All right, Cliff, I got your point. Kurt, what are you saying? You're saying that is not true. It's not accurate that doctors who are not leaving the state are going out of business.
Let me offer a few facts. You know, the Pew Foundation did a report back in the early 2000s, and they found that while there were a number of reasons for medical malpractice premiums going up sky high, the largest cost driver was investigating, defending, and paying claims. Okay, that's right from Pew. The New York Times in 2002 reported that Mercy Hospital in Philadelphia closed their maternity ward due to malpractice liability. Jefferson Hospital closed its maternity ward at Methodist Hospital in Philly due to malpractice costs. Brandywine Hospital closed its trauma center. Paoli Hospital closed its paramedic unit. Between 1995 and 2005, there was a 17% decline in obstetrics units in Pennsylvania hospitals. That affects women and children and was part of the trial bars war on women and children back then that we don't want to see come back.
We're going to continue this conversation in just a moment. You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamont. Welcome back to Smart Talk. Before we get back to our conversation about medical malpractice and whether the Supreme Court will be changing rules having to do with the location where lawsuits can be filed, we have Tim Lambert, WITF's Multimedia News Director here. We are in the midst of the Roses campaign, and even though today it may not sound like Valentine's Day is tomorrow, it is tomorrow.
It is.
There's a lot of love going around.
There is. And, sometimes you may have a disagreement with somebody, and you might want to say, hey, we still respect each other, so you send them roses. And this is the perfect time to do that by calling 1-800-233-9483 or go online to WITF.org/roses. Make a contribution in support of public media in central Pennsylvania. For a contribution of $100, a half dozen red or rainbow roses will be sent to someone anywhere in the United States right now. We have sent roses to 12 states today, and we're still six off the pace for all 50. We're at 44, but we hope to hear from you with that contribution now. We have until 2 o'clock for national delivery tomorrow for Valentine's Day. So you can make that contribution, and those roses will go out to anyone one in the country, but you have to make that order by 2 p.m. So the clock is ticking on that one. And for a dozen red or rainbow roses, a contribution of $125. And if you just want to do a local delivery and you want to go big to show someone how much you appreciate what they mean to you, what they bring to your life, you can make a $250 contribution for two dozen red roses and a vase. So this is a chance for you to have a win-win-win. You support public media, you show someone that's important to you what they mean to you, and it is also a chance for you to put a smile on your face knowing that you support public media and that special someone.
Tim, we'll talk to you again in just a few minutes.
Excellent.
Our guest today during this portion of the program is Cliff Readers with the Pennsylvania, well, he has past president, the Pennsylvania Association for Justice, representing himself as an attorney. Kurt Schroeder, who is the executive director of the Pennsylvania Coalition for Civil Justice Reform. And Kurt Schroeder is a former state legislator here in Pennsylvania. We're talking about medical malpractice. The Pennsylvania Supreme Court is considering a rule that would have to do with the location, the venue of where medical malpractice suits can be filed. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call. 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. On Twitter, we are at smarttalkwitf. Again, the phone number, 1-800-729-7532. Let me just tell you a quick story before we take some more phone calls. I actually sat on a jury hearing a malpractice case. This was in Lancaster County. The doctor was accused of making a mistake on a hip replacement. Day one, the plaintiff's expert testifies. My opinion, and just from what I could tell from the other jurors afterwards when we discussed the case, was that we all thought, hands down, plaintiff wins this case after hearing from the expert. Day two, the doctor's expert witness is just as convincing, maybe even more so, that outcomes aren't always positive, but the doctor followed procedure. We found for the doctor based on the testimony and the evidence. No one said that we're going to hurt this doctor or anything else. Actually, what I heard from the other jurors is we have to, when we first went into the deliberations, what I heard was we have to give the plaintiff something because he's lost income and we feel sorry for him. And the discussion we had behind closed doors was, but that's not what we're here to decide. We're here to decide whether the doctor made a mistake or not.
Sure.
Talk to the judge afterwards. The judge said, here in Lancaster County, juries very rarely find for plaintiffs. So I just bring that out because there was no one saying worried about the future of the doctor or whether he would go out of business or anything else. It was, if anything, they felt sorry for the plaintiff, but at the same time, they had to address the law and the testimony that they said. My sense is that juries all over the state take their responsibility very seriously and look at evidence and testimony.
I think they do, Scott. And let's face it, jurors are often given a very hard choice. There could be significant harm or damages for whatever reason that, you know, makes the plaintiff a very sympathetic, person in the eyes of the jury and someone that they, in their hearts, you know, want to help. That's very common. Yet you can have the other part of this, too, where, hey, you know, once all the evidence is in, maybe it wasn't a medical error or medical negligence that, you know, caused whatever, you know, the current condition might be. Maybe it was, a known side effect of something, or maybe it was a known risk or, something of a,
well, the
of
doctor,
a procedure.
The doctor just basically said that there are surgeries that don't always turn out positive.
Yeah, yeah. So you're right. Jurors, I think, do take their charges seriously, and they're often caught in the conflict between, you know, someone who is a very sympathetic plaintiff and someone who, you know, is likable and that in their hearts they feel sorry for because of their current condition. But, you know, in some cases, the liability part of that, might not add up to a plaintiff verdict.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Readers, your thoughts on that?
So let's get back to the truth. The truth is that people do worry about their doctors, and the medical industry has spent a ton of money advertising doctors leaving the state when the opposite is the truth, when we have more doctors every year, but they lie to people and they tell people doctors are leaving. You heard that phone call, and it turned out, and it's not the truth. And so people are worried about losing their doctors, and they do feel sympathy to doctors. And I've been on, and I've tried a lot more cases than one, than the one you sat on, and I can tell you people feel sorry for doctors because they believe the propaganda. And in fact, jurors throughout this state, you know, make decisions based upon their good judgment and what they hear, and fear, and the fear factor that's introduced by the medical industry, which is pervasive. Now, look at this program, for example. This program is underwritten by UPMC Pinnacle. Do you think
has nothing to do with anything?
They don't get out of it what they want to get out of it. So, you know, you've got this industry pervasively throughout the Commonwealth, making sure that their point of view gets heard. And their point of view is that they want special treatment that nobody else gets. Now, I never did answer, and I want to make sure I answer Kurt's remark, that he wants all cases that should only be able to be brought where the tort occurred or the contract breach occurred. And the answer to that is very simple. Nobody else does it that way. No state does it that way. Pennsylvania has never done it that way. When a business, this is the part that people really have to get through their brain, when a business or an individual, for that matter, makes money, makes a living by having a presence in, by doing business in a particular state or a particular county, according to the United States Supreme Court, they have subjected themselves to answering the call there. Should they be sued? If they have a sufficient connection. And if they don't, then there's a change of venue.
Okay.
I want to get back to the truth, because that is really the truth.
All right, here's a question from Mike in Lewisburg, an email says, I'd like to point out that we have rules of civil procedure that apply to all cases. Neither of your guests have noted the fact that venue may be challenged early on in litigation, and any party may petition the court to transfer venue to any county in which the action may have originally been brought. Therefore, to the extent that out-of-county cases have been shopped to Philadelphia, the question must be asked, why were the defendants unsuccessful in removing those cases to another county? Kurt.
Yeah, I think what the person emailed is talking about the concept of making a motion of forum nonconvenience. And frankly, the standard to prevail in a motion for forum nonconvenience is very, very high. You have to show that the forum chosen by the plaintiff is vexatious or oppressive. And judges have, you know, very commonly yielded to the plaintiff's choice of venue. So it's very hard to get out of a particular venue once the plaintiff has decided to file there. You have the Complex Litigation Center in Philadelphia, for example. You know, it's the epicenter of litigation tourism, where people from outside the state file lawsuits in Pennsylvania specifically to get into the Philadelphia court system. And defendants all the time are, you know, making motions for what's called forum nonconvenience, an inconvenient forum, as the writer suggested. And they're, you know, they're once in a great while they'll succeed, but they're routinely denied.
Cliff Readers, what about that?
What about what? Now he's criticizing the judges. Now he's saying the judges don't grant change of venue often enough. And I think you have to look at that on a case-by-case basis.
No, what I'm talking about is the email from the listener about rules of civil procedure.
So the answer to the question is found in the rules. That a case is moved whenever a large number of inhabitants have an adverse interest in the question, whenever it appears a party may have an undue influence. Cases, change of venue happens all the time. I just handled a case myself that was transferred from Philadelphia to Lycoming County. I mean, it happens all the time. And the fact that he doesn't like it because it doesn't happen often enough, well, you know, maybe we should look at the venue rules. Maybe we need to get cases out of Potter County and McKean County when that county really has very little to do with UPMC, and maybe that case should be able to be brought in Allegheny County. But why are we only talking about Philadelphia, by the way? I mean, there's an anti-Philadelphia bias, which is really big in the industry. But let's talk about other counties where cases maybe should be heard. Let's flip this around a little bit. Why does a case have to be heard in McKean County against UPMC, which has its operation, its experts, its business, its all of its activities in Allegheny County? Why shouldn't that case be able to be brought in Allegheny County? Why should the medical industry get a break
that
nobody else gets by making people fear in McKean County or Potter County that they're going to lose their doctors or their hospital, which in fact is not the truth, but that's the fear that's sent out there, that is utilized.
All right, Kurt, answer to that.
Well, you know, there's just so much wrong and so many misrepresentations that it's hard to know where to start, even responding to them. Cliff is right, you know, with the consolidation of healthcare since the early 2000s, and it was underway, by the way, back in the early 2000s when the last big medical malpractice problem hit. But the consolidations of hospitals, UPMC now owns facilities right out here in Harrisburg. University of Penn owns facilities out in Chester and Lancaster County now. So if you do change the venue rule back to the pre-2003 broad venue rule that Cliff is advocating, guess where those cases, for UPMC Harrisburg are going to go. Guess where Lancaster General cases are now going to go? They're going to go to the Philadelphia. People from Harrisburg are going to be hauled 3 hours away across the state to Allegheny County. And, you know, who's to say they cannot get a fair hearing, you know, right here in Dauphin County? You know, there's nothing magical about these city jurisdictions that Cliff wants to file every case in as being the only jurisdictions and the only locales that can dispense justice.
Okay, it's just, Kurt, let me interrupt for just 1 second here, and let's get back to one of the basic questions. And one of the reasons that the rule is being considered by the state Supreme Court, a committee of the state Supreme Court, that apparently, you know, and I don't know the numbers, you probably have them in front of you, but that apparently juries around the state are less likely to find for the plaintiff than for the defendant, a doctor or a medical facility. Well, why is that? I mean, we know that there are doctors who make mistakes. We know that there are hospitals that make mistakes. There could be some negligence. Bottom line is, are there people out there not getting justice?
I would argue that those counties are not the outlier, as Cliff seems to suggest, but rather Philadelphia and some of the other counties are the outliers. For instance, the same Pew report that I referenced earlier indicated that plaintiffs were twice as likely to win jury trials than back in the early 2000s than the national average. And over half of the awards in Philadelphia were over $1 million, and that's almost equal to the number of awards in the state of California itself during that time. The total malpractice payouts were twice the national average back then. And this is all during a time when, you know, Cliff and others are denying that we even had a medical malpractice crisis. It was somehow the figment of the doctors and scare tactics. Well, if we want to talk about scare tactics and we want to talk about advertising, no one does more to poison the jury pool in this state than the personal injury ads that you see all day long and all night long, late at night on TV, that do nothing but scare people. It scares people into stopping to take their medicine sometimes before they've even consulted an attorney. It has very deleterious effects, and it poisons the jury pool, and they bring that into the courtroom with them.
All right, we have Kurt and Cliff here. Cliff, what about that? What about the
answer is, I'm listening to Kurt carefully. He does not want cases in Philadelphia because he's afraid of the results. That's what it's all about. Otherwise, he would acknowledge that every other individual and every other business can be sued where they're headquartered. But you have to ask yourself, and nobody's talked about this yet, why are they headquartered in Philadelphia? Why do they run their operations out of Philadelphia? Why do doctors and hospitals in rural areas call their Philadelphia base for information, for testing? Why do they involve the Philadelphia operation? And the reason, there's a couple of reasons why. Number one, that's where the money is made by the medical healthcare industry, number one. Number two, that's where they choose to avail themselves of the right to do business because they think it's advantageous to themselves. So they want the advantage of Philadelphia or, let's say, Pittsburgh, which is great and fine. Why not? But they don't want the disadvantages. That is that they now, because they have a presence there, that there's a right to be sued there. As there is for any other individual or any other business. They want their cake and they want to eat it too. The second issue is we talked about ads, and I thought that was pretty interesting because the surveys show that the number of ads for cancer cures, hospitals, and doctors outnumber lawyer ads 6-1. And by the way, I don't like any of them. I am repulsed by both the hospital doctor ads claiming cures for all kinds of stuff that bring people into the hospitals and bring people into using pharmaceuticals they don't need. And I also don't like lawyer ads. So maybe we agree on that. Maybe we, you know,
we have something we can agree on.
The court says that advertising is a First Amendment right. So Kurt, we're stuck with that. We have to listen to those ads claiming that the hospitals can cure cancer, and we have to listen to those lawyers who say that they can, you know, get money for people.
All right, let me take a call now from Dr. Karen Roberts, who's in Lancaster. Dr. Roberts, you're on the air.
My practice is out of Lancaster, and recently Penn Medicine has taken over Lancaster General. And even though if I have a bad outcome and everybody involved is Lancaster-based, it could potentially be moved, which is for this very reasons they mentioned earlier. And it just seems like I deserve to be judged by not a jury of my true peers, because they're not all physicians, but of the people that would be my patients. And Lancaster's a small community. People know everybody. And I will also say that if we cannot be practicing and knowing that we're going to be local in at least that, because Penn Medicine doesn't have that much of an influence into the day-to-day practice of the obstetrical care. So
right.
I feel like it's unfair.
All right. Thank you very much for your call. Let me also follow up with another email. This emailer says, while I am biased as a defense lawyer, not a medical malpractice, but other defense cases, Kurt Schroeder is correct. I have multiple cases in which lawyers, usually Philadelphia lawyers, will find some party with a tenuous connection to Philadelphia and file a lawsuit there, even though the incident occurred in Schuylkill, York, or Cumberland County. The medical malpractice venue rule should be applied to all cases. The problem with what Cliff Readers said about the venue law and that it must be convenient for him is not true. The defense has to show the venue is oppressive, and it is up to a Philadelphia judge to decide if the venue is oppressive and vexatious. Their decisions often defy common sense. So, Mr. Readers, your response to that from another attorney.
Well, from a defense lawyer, I am not surprised to hear him say that, but what I'd say to him is that my experience is that judges in Philadelphia love to throw cases out of the county if they can. They have less cases. So, you know, his experience and mine are different. But I thought the doctor's remark was most interesting. Dr. Roberts, I think her name was, sounded very articulate and intelligent, and she said she wants to be judged by her patients, by people like her patients. That's the problem. If a business, now her business was bought by a Philadelphia operation, so they went into Lancaster County fully comprehending and understanding that they now are doing business in two counties, in Philadelphia and Lancaster and maybe who knows where else. They're doing that because that's a money-making operation for them. They've made a business decision that is to their benefit to be in those two places. To the extent that they can be sued and served in Philadelphia or Lancaster County, why shouldn't they? Why should we have such a parochial system that an individual or an entity can only be sued where a particular transaction arises and not in counties where they are making a great deal of money and running their business for reasons personal to them, which they have a right to do, because they think it's advantageous to do so. So, you know, her practice was bought by this Philadelphia operation because they think it's in their advantage. It's to their advantage to do that, their economic advantage. Yet they want to walk away from that responsibility by saying, oh, no, she should only have to be judged by her patients. Well, you know, I don't blame her. I mean, who wouldn't want that deal?
All right, let me stop you here, Cliff, and have Kurt come in because we only have a few minutes left. Kurt?
Yeah, I'll tell you why they shouldn't be dragged into Philadelphia from Lancaster County. You know, rural Pennsylvania right now is getting a great health care and medical benefit from the expansion of these institutions that have so much medical expertise, medical technology, and have made such great advances in life-saving patient care. It is actually a good thing that they are bringing their expertise, whether it's to Lancaster County, whether it's to Cumberland County, you know, take Tioga County, take your pick, okay? So every patient in Pennsylvania is potentially benefiting from that. If they come into those counties to provide expertise in patient care and save lives, and then knowing that they're not going to be judged by a jury of their peers in that county, but they're going to have to go back to Philadelphia, where the verdicts, they skyrocket, where costs of settlement is higher because high verdicts, you also equate in high settlements. if they have to face that additional liability exposure, they're going to be a lot less reluctant to provide those type of services and life-saving services to rural Pennsylvania and to have the type of facilities that Pennsylvanians are seeing right now.
Gentlemen, we are out of time, and I know that this is we've gotten several emails here from listeners to say that this is a very sensitive topic, but I have an emailer who said something that probably sums it all up, is that we're talking about people's lives that, you know, could be the health, maybe even a life or death situation with the patient. And then you're also talking about a healthcare provider's lives as well. So just think about that. And Cliff Readers, former president of the Pennsylvania Association of Justice, Kurt Schroeder, who is the executive director of the Pennsylvania Coalition for Civil Justice Reform. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us today.
Glad to be with you, Scott. Thank you.
You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome back to Smart Talk. We are in the midst of WITF's Roses campaign. Valentine's Day is tomorrow. Tim Lambert, WITF's multimedia news director, is with us today.
Yes.
Tough issue today.
I'll say. I'll definitely say it was a tough issue today.
Of all the issues, that was a tough one.
Yes, yes. And, you know, the shows sometimes do tackle tough issues. And you know, we look to have a civil conversation, and that's what you expect when you join us for Smart Talk each and every day. And, you know, today was one of those days where the conversation, it's a heated conversation.
Right, right.
That happens.
Yeah. Anyway.
Passions abound. Just in time for Valentine's Day, right?
I was going to say, speaking of passions, let's talk about Valentine's Day and roses.
The hard pivot. But, you know, they could send roses to each other, and I think that would be, you know, to make each other just at least acknowledge, you know, there's some mutual respect there, we hope. But you can send roses, too, and that's what we hope you do. You support public radio. You support WITF. And you support that special someone in your life right now with $100 contribution. That's some red or rainbow roses. Half dozen of those will go to that special someone, or for $125, red or rainbow roses, a dozen will go to that special someone. If you want to send those orders nationally, you have until 2 p.m. today. So the clock is ticking on that. Just 4 hours to make that contribution and send those roses to anywhere in the United States. That includes Hawaii and Alaska. So far, we've seen Texas and Florida and Minnesota getting roses today. 12 states where roses are headed. So people are taking advantage of that encroaching deadline. We're getting closer and closer. So you can go to WITF.org/roses, or you can call 1-800-233-9483. Local delivery here in central Pennsylvania. The deadline for that is tomorrow at noon. So we hope that this is a chance for you to step back. It's been a crazy week with the weather, and it's only Wednesday, and it's hard to believe that Valentine's Day is tomorrow, because we've been so focused on, you know, the kids not going to school and shoveling the driveway and making sure that the dogs walked but weren't left too long outside, and, you know, all kind of craziness. Were you going to work from home this week? Or are you going to try to, you know, deal with the commute in, or are you going to sleep on the WITF couch? Like Scott Lamar, his dedication to his craft.
He wasn't that bad, though.
Yeah, the dedication of sleeping on the couch. Yeah, I get it. So if that is something that you are looking forward to, and that is something that now you're focusing on Valentine's Day, we hope that you make that contribution in support of what we do at 1-800-233-9483 or WITF.org/roses. It doesn't have to just be a romantic interest. It doesn't have to be your wife or your husband. It could be someone who has had an impact on your life, whether it's an old teacher, an old professor, an old mentor at work. Maybe someone you work with who helped you on a big project and you want to thank them. Maybe it's that friend who's with you every Friday night or Thursday night when you go out for happy hour and you're, you know, you just want to vent about what's going on in your life or what's going on in your work week.
Maybe a doctor or nurse.
A doctor or nurse. Obviously, it would be a good choice today. We could spread some love there. The passion's there. Let's spread the love there as well at 1-800-233-9483. You can go online to WITF.org/roses. Again, national delivery. The deadline is at 2 p.m. today.
Tim Lambert, thank you very much for being with us today. And I just have to say, encourage everyone out there to take advantage of this. Actually, Kurt Schroeder was telling me off the air that he's not sent. I don't want to ruin
don't
his.
Don't say anything.
All right, okay. He's going to take advantage of it.
Confidentiality rules.
Thank you very much, Tim Lambert. Coming up on tomorrow's program, the president of Central Penn College will be with us, so be sure to tune in.